you're saved, you enjoy songs about being saved. Isn't that right? And just good to be in God's house. And I appreciate the Lord. I'm going to preach a few minutes tonight from Mark chapter number 6. And I saw Brother Avery come in. I started to preach him tonight. And I hadn't preached a Sunday night in 3 weeks, so I'm afraid they're going to fire me if I don't. So, Brother Avery, I'll see you after service, though. I want you to come preach for us here. And it's been a blessing to have them out of the church, amen, as members here for some time and then went out. And we're glad they're with us tonight, amen. Need to pray for their son, though. He won't have nothing to do with me. And I'm the only person he does this to. I can say hello to him, and he'll just cut his eyes up at me real sharp and just look. And so I don't know what's wrong with that boy. We need to pray for him, don't we? Amen. But Mark chapter 6, if you're able to stand with us tonight, Mark chapter 6. And just appreciate the presence of God. All day has been so good, and we thank the Lord for it. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 53. The Bible says, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran throughout the whole region round about and began to carry about in the beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Father, I pray for the next few moments you would help us tonight. I pray, God, that you would touch us and give us the liberty and the vocabulary that we need. Most of all, may you be honored and may you be glorified. Thank you for every song, every testimony, Lord, that's been given throughout this day. And I pray you'll bless your people now. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. When we look at this text here, you'll notice in verse number 53, there's several things. There's the timing of this text. The Bible said, and when they had passed over. And you think about the disciples, where they were, what they just came through. They just came through a storm, and Christ had stepped out, and he had spoke to the wind and the waves, and they were laid down and then at his feet. And so Jesus was walking on the water during that storm. And then we think about where they're at, the terrain. The Bible said they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. So now they have come through the storm, and they have reached this land, and they're getting off this boat here. And I want you to notice the thrill of these people when they see Jesus. The Bible said in verse 54, and when they were come out of the ship straightway, they knew him. They recognized who Christ was. And the Bible said they ran through that whole region round about, and they began to get busy because of who was there and who they saw. And so we notice these people that are troubled. The Bible said they went and they got the beds of those that were sick. So when these people see Jesus, they recognize him, and they run out and they start getting those that cannot help themselves. Amen. Those that cannot get to where he is. And so they go, and the Bible says in verse number 56 that they laid them in the street there. And the towns and the villages are mentioned here, that whithersoever he entered into the villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the street. So it didn't matter where Jesus went, they were putting people in his pathway. You know, that's our responsibility tonight as Christians, is to put others in his pathway. And so, but we will notice in verse number 56, we notice the touch here. The Bible says that they besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. And then notice this, as many as touched him were made whole. Amen. You know, I was reading that passage of Scripture the other day, and I thought, well, it was just an interesting text to me. But you know, when you think about this story tonight, this story is really not about the ship. It's not about the sailors that was on that ship. It's not even about the sick that was laying in the street and those that were suffering. Amen. It's not about these soul winners that went out and that were busy going and getting these people and bringing them and putting them in the in the street. Really, when you just boil this text down to really what it is about, it's really about the Savior, amen? And it's really about particularly the Savior's touch, amen? I mean, that's what makes the story. The ship doesn't do anything for the story. Those that are sick don't do anything for the story. Those being laid, though they're being laid in the street, and the enthusiasm of those that are going after them, that really doesn't do anything to change the story. But I'll tell you what does change the story is when they touch Jesus, amen? That's when the story begin to change in the latter part, when the Bible said as many as touched him were made whole. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject on touching Jesus is all that really matters, amen? Touching Jesus is all that really matters. You see, friend, it's all that really matters in this text, and it's really all that matters in my life, and it's all that matters in your life, is that we touch Jesus, amen? I'm glad tonight, thank God, we can touch him, and he can touch us, amen? He can be touched, the Bible said, with the very feelings of our infirmities. And you and I tonight have an opportunity, we have a privilege to reach out and to touch the Lord, amen? You see, if we don't get help, it's not God's fault. If Sunday comes and Sunday goes and you and I are in the same shape when the day ends as we was when we started, it's not heaven's fault. It's not the Word of God. It's not because of the Holy Spirit. It's not because God doesn't want to help us. I'm telling you, God wants to help his people. God wants to help his church. There's no problem with heaven. There's no problem with this book. There's no problem with the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, friend, if we don't have revival, it's not because we can't have revival. If we don't get closer to God, it's not because we can't get closer to God. He said, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. Amen. We're as close to God as we want to be. We're as close to God as we choose to be. I'm telling you, these people, they had a desire. They had a hunger. They had a burden to reach out and to touch Jesus. Amen. And for them, that was all that really mattered. When we come to church, is that all that matters? We need to touch him in our prayer life. We need to touch him in our worship, amen. When I come to church and you come to church, we ought to have one thing on our mind, and that's to worship God, amen. That's to hear from heaven. We ought to not think about all the problems of life. We ought to not think about others, amen. You know, I'm glad this is not a church, although we do believe in wearing our Sunday best, amen. And I think we ought to wear our best for the Lord, and we ought to look like we're going to church when we go to church, amen. I tell you, you ought to wear the best clothes you got to the house of God, amen, not to be seen, but because you ought to do everything whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, amen, and look your best because you're going to God's house, amen. But at the same time, we don't come to see each other. I mean, it doesn't matter where your suit came from. It doesn't matter where your dress came from. We don't come to be noticed. We don't come to be seen. We come to magnify and to glorify and to worship God, amen. There's only one way to worship God. As I mentioned this morning, that's on purpose. And when we go to church, we ought to leave our cell phone. I know sometimes if somebody's sick and you got to have a phone, I understand that. And I'll tell you, listen, we ought to leave our cell phone aside and come and just focus on God. Amen. Sometimes the service will get good in a meeting somewhere, maybe where I'll be at, and I'll see somebody, it'll get real good, and I'll see them pick their phone up. I wish they'd put their phone down and put their hand up, don't you? Amen. I'm telling you, just worship God. Everything don't got to be captured. Everything don't got to be put out there for the world to see. I'm just saying, we go to church, our attention ought to be on him and him alone. Amen. I'm telling you, we ought to be thinking about him. Why? Because today, you know what matters today? When we turn the lights out and we go to the house and start another work week, the only thing that matters is to whether or not we touch Jesus. Amen. I want to say tonight, when we come to this text, a few thoughts about touching Jesus is all that really matters. I want you to notice, first of all, the reason they could touch Jesus. The reason is found in verse 54. And when they that were come out of the ship, when they were come out of the ship, straightway, notice this, they knew him. Verse 55, and they ran throughout the whole region round about, began to carry about in the beds those that were sick where they heard he was. Whithersoever he entered into the villages, cities, or country, laid the sick in the streets. The reason these people could touch Jesus was because in verse number 54, there was a crowd here that recognized him. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God for people that recognize his presence. Amen. When he shows up in a service, some people don't have a clue. Some people don't know when God's there and when he's not there. Now, I'm not a spiritual thermometer tonight, but I'm glad, thank God, if you've been around it, you know when he's there. You know when he shows up in a song. You know when he shows up in a sermon. You know when he shows up in a service. Amen. I'm telling you, if you've been around the real thing, and you know when the presence of God is real, if you've read your Bible at home and he showed up, amen, your living room, you recognize his presence. Amen. Sometimes he'll show up when you're reading the Bible at home. Sometimes he'll show up when you're praying. Sometimes he'll show up when you're just listening to a song, as we heard it mentioned tonight. But thank God this crowd could reach out and touch Jesus, because there was another crowd that recognized him. Amen. Because of the people who recognized him, and then because of the people who ran to them. The Bible said they ran throughout the whole region round about. You see, this crowd, it could not have got to where he was, but there was a crowd that saw him, they recognized him, and then they didn't think about themselves. You know what they did? They went and got somebody else. Amen. You know, that's what Christianity's about. It's about not thinking about ourselves. It's about thinking about others. Now, for every person that ever said they was a Christian, I'm not talking about being saved, but for every person that ever said they were a Christian, that quit church because they got their feelings hurt, then they were only thinking about themselves. Amen. Those that carry bitterness around because of what others have done to them, though they may be good people, you got to quit thinking about yourself. Amen. Well, I can't get past the hurt. Well, I can't get past what, but you got to get past it. Well, and I'll tell you how to get past it. Realize that you've hurt other people. Realize that you're not perfect. Brother Gravel, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said about me. No, I don't, but I want to tell you something. If you're going to serve God based on how other people treat you, you're not going to do a very good job at serving God. Amen? You got to get, this thing can't be about me. It can't be about you. I can't go around all the time and say, well, you know what, so-and-so didn't treat me right. Hey, there's 200 people here. I can't go around and focus on the one or two that may not treat somebody right. Amen? What about the 195 that did? Amen? You say, well, I had about 5 people didn't treat me right. Well, there's still another 195 people that didn't do you wrong. Amen. And you think about this. No one has ever treated us any worse than what our sins has treated others. Amen. I tell you, you got to quit being a big old baby. Amen. Listen, you don't listen. Hey, isn't that the truth? Amen. I mean, some people are just big old babies that need a pacifier about every 6 months. They need a pastor that'll change their diaper about every 6 months and give them a bottle. I'm going to tell you something. We're not in a babysitting business. This isn't a daycare, it's a church. Somebody say amen. I'm saying, friend, you just got to suck it up and go on and be a Christian. Amen. And listen, don't let what other people do have anything to do with your worship. Amen. I said it a few weeks ago, but I'm going to say it again. Probably it happens more in singing than anywhere. You can't be one of these people that say, well, I'll worship with this one, but I won't worship with that one. No, we worship with all of them. Well, I just don't know. And I'll tell you something. If they ain't doing right, living right, nobody's perfect. But if people ain't living right, we ain't going to let it just keep going on. Can I get a witness right there? I'm going to tell you something. If you're all about the truth and not the personality, that's what I'm saying. Worship can't be about personality. Well, I've seen some people, listen, they fall in love with somebody so much, Brother Lanny, it's as if they can't do no wrong. And when they get up to testify or get up to sing or get up to preach, that certain individuals that just love them, they'll just about get raptured out. And I know I hit a stump, so I'm going to back up and just come again and keep on digging till I dig this thing out. Amen? We're not that kind of place around here. Amen? But, well, they'll just about get raptured out on this person. You know why? And ain't nothing wrong with loving people. Amen? But we're We're not worshiping the singers. We're not worshiping the evangelists. We're not worshiping the personality of men. Amen. And so you don't get raptured out on one person and then look like you want to puke in a bucket when somebody else gets up. Amen. I'm just telling you how it is tonight. You say, does that happen here? I don't think it's happening right now, but I've seen it happen before. I'm saying tonight, the reason they could touch him was because they recognized him. And then they went and helped others. How did all that fit that? I don't even know. But it was good enough to preach. Oh, I know how it was. You can't think about self. Serving God cannot be, and pastors can be as bad as anybody. We can't sit around and say, well, you know, this person. No. Serving God is not to be about others. It's to be about him. I want to say the reason they could touch Jesus was because of the people who recognized him. The people who ran, these people, they ran to them. And then because of the people who rescued them, verse 55, the Bible said that they laid the sick in the streets. That's interesting. They went into the streets or went out into the villages and cities to their homes and they laid them in the streets because that's where Jesus was passing by. I'm going to tell you something. That's how we win souls. That's how we go after people. They're not coming here. We got to go to where they're at. And listen, he'll pass by in the streets. Isn't that a blessing? It's not just in the church house, but it was because of the passing by of the Redeemer. The Bible said that when he passed by, amen, and whithersoever he entered into the villages or the cities or the country, the reason they could touch Jesus is because Jesus was going to where they was. You know, I'm thankful the gospel will go to our doorstep. I'm thankful the gospel, amen, goes to the trailer parks and it goes to the subdivisions. And thank God it goes to the high-rise places and the apartments. Listen, it goes to the streets. It goes to the city. It goes to the country. You can't preach the gospel in the wrong place. You can't witness to the wrong person. The reason they could reach out and touch him was because Jesus passed by. Amen. I gave a man a tract yesterday and I asked him, I said, sir, I said, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Or do you go to church? That's what I asked. Do you go to church? He said, no, sir. I said, are you a Catholic? I thought he might have been a Catholic. And he said, no, actually, I'm not. I said, I'm a Baptist. I said, that's good. I said, are you saved? And you know, surprisingly, you know, his eyes filled up with tears. And he said to me, he said, we were in a business place. And he said to me, he said, you know, I hope so. I said, will you read this? He was on the job at the time. I said, will you read this? I said, I'll be back. And I said, I'd like for you to come to our church sometime. You just never know. Sometimes you give the gospel to people and they'll wad that track up and throw it down, or you'll get, but you just never know when you're going to give somebody a track. I'll be honest with you, I walked out as astonished as probably he was, because I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting that out of him. And sometimes that's the way it is, isn't it? But people are everywhere that need God. And I can't help but notice that where this took place, the reason they could touch Jesus, then the request, look at verse 56, to touch Jesus. The Bible says that in the middle part of that verse that they besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. When you think about this, this is a very sincere request, because the Bible said they besought him. These people are begging. What is it that's causing these people to beg Jesus? I'll tell you what it is. It's their condition. Amen. It's their desperation. These people know that they need help, and they know that they cannot help themselves. And they see Jesus, and they're in this presence, but they know that he is passing by, that he's not going to stay here. This is their opportunity. And may I say to you tonight, that when we think about touching Jesus, the request must be sincere. You and I must see it the same way. I mean, I know that we're saved and the Holy Spirit lives in our life, but we must remember that when God passes by, we must do the same thing. We must be earnest. We must realize the urgency. We must realize that we must touch him. Amen. Here's a crowd that's desperate. Amen. Desperate people always touch Jesus. Somebody comes walking down the aisle, popping their chewing gum, and they take it real casual. It'd be best to give them a whole lot of scripture and send them back to their seat, unless things change real quickly. Because they're not desperate. But when some, I've seen people, and you have two come down the aisle, and they probably got saved before they ever got to this altar. Because they come running. They were desperate. I'm not saying salvation is in tears. I'm not saying it's in an experience. It's in the condition of a heart. We can't always see the condition of people's heart, but sometimes we can tell when their heart's not in the right condition. Isn't that right? Sometimes it's just evident, and sometimes it's evident that they are broken and that they are coming and that they're desperately wanting. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're going to have to get desperate if you want to get saved. And if you get desperate, you can't be saved. Amen? But you don't treat this thing lightly. You don't treat coming to Christ just casually. It was a sincere request, and then it was a simple request, amen? The request was that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment, amen? I mean, listen, here's the request. It is so simple. They said, Lord, we don't have to touch you, but if we can just touch whatever's connected to you, they had enough faith to believe if they touched whatever was connected to him, it was going to help them, amen? You know, I can't physically touch Jesus right now, and neither can you, but I tell you what I can. I can touch what's connected to him, amen. I can reach out and get a hold of something, amen, that'll get a hold of me. It takes the same faith, just a simple request. If you'll come and say, Lord, I need to touch you in this area. Lord, I need to touch you in that area. I may not physically touch you, but I'm going to take a verse, and I'm going to touch that verse. I'm going to touch what's connected to you. Thank God it'll still work, amen. Been a lot of times. You just say, Lord, you read a verse of Scripture, and God will give you a verse, and you know immediately when you read it, it's about something you've been praying about. And at the moment you read that, here it is. You're faced with that decision. Believe God about that or not? Sometimes the devil says, oh, that's just a coincidence. I'm going to tell you something. When you read your Bible systematically, and one day, the very thing you pray about is the very thing you read about that day. That's not a coincidence. That's providence. That's God. Only God could let that verse fall the same time. You ever done this right here? You ever just said, well, wherever it falls, I'm just going to claim that verse. Don't ever do that. I tried that a time or two starting out, and then it, you know, it fell into something like God going to judge you and take you out of here. And I said, well, I ain't trying that no more. Amen. Just read your Bible every day. And God will give you what you need when you need it. And it'll always be on time, won't it? And, but when it comes, here's what you and I have to do. We have to believe that that's God. Amen? That little old voice in your ear saying, well, that ain't God, that ain't God. I'm going to tell you, that's the devil's who that is. I thought about this the other day. You know, there's been men that have spent their whole life trying to convince the world that there is no God. Atheists, right? But I don't think I've ever read about anybody going around trying to convince the world that there is no devil. Amen. Men will spend their lives telling the world God's not real. He doesn't exist. There is no God. But nobody goes around trying to convince the world there is no devil. You know why? Because I'll tell you who's behind all of that. It's the devil. Amen. And the same devil, amen, that tries to tell everybody that there is no God is the same devil will tell you, well, you, that verse ain't for you. That's just a coincidence. No, I'll tell you why. If you'll just go ahead and trust what's connected to him, thank God it'll help you. Amen. Just touch whatever it is that's connected to him. Amen. The request to touch Jesus, the reason they could touch Jesus, and then the responsibility in touching Jesus. The Bible says here, and as many as touched him. There's a responsibility, isn't there? Oh, man. Jesus is passing by. Others have taken them and laid them in the pathway of where Jesus is coming. But those individuals had a responsibility to reach out and touch him. Christ was within their reach, but they had a responsibility. You know, you can go to a good church all your life and hear Bible preaching, Bible teaching, and hear singing and all those things. But I will say tonight, you have a responsibility, and so do I, to reach out and get a hold of it. Why do some people grow up in a good church? They get older and they walk away from it. Very simple. They never reached out and got a hold of it. Service after service, message after message, testimony after testimony, lesson after lesson, invitation after invitation. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to get a hold of it. Young people, you have to get a hold of it. You can sit in a good church and die. You can sit in a good church and go to hell. Jesus passing by. I remember one year we had Jubilee here one night, and Brother Bo Wagner preached. Y'all remember him preaching on hell that night? And I don't remember, probably 15, 20 people got saved somewhere there. How many people just kept getting saved? And boy, people, it was a great night. People shouting, rejoicing. And as soon as the service was over with, I mean, just as quick as they said amen, somebody just come right up on those steps. I mean, just right in my face and started in on something. And they're just hammering away, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, Brother Jack, we just had, I don't know how many people got saved. And they missed that. They didn't even get a hold of what he passed by, and they had something stewing on their heart or on their mind, and they missed every bit of that. I wonder how many times that happens. You know, when Jubilee comes around, revival meeting comes around, I'm not talking about having to work, but when these meetings come around, you better get a hold of it. I mean, if you have to work and you can't come, that's one thing. But don't ever, I mean, when ladies' conference comes around, don't ever take any of these meetings for granted. Don't ever say, well, I'm not going this year. I'm sure nobody at Bible's ever said that. I'm not going. Well, I'll tell you what you're not going to do. You're not going to touch him. You're going to miss an opportunity. I promise you, the very meeting that you could come to, that you choose not to come to, I promise you, you needed that. And I promise you, at the judgment seat, you'll see how badly you needed that. I'm telling you, in our church, in America, listen to me tonight, folks, in America, people are going to have to give an account for all the light that's been put in front of them that they just did not get a hold of. Our church does very good about attendance to meetings, and I appreciate that. But I've seen it, and I don't want it to happen here, but I've seen it. Good churches like this over years, well, people just, they loved what God was doing, but they had so much of it for so long that what happened was it didn't mean anything to them no more. You know what happens when that happens? He'll remove that candlestick. He'll take that away. I've often thought when Jubilee's come to an end, I've often wondered, will there be another one? When Brother Tim Green preaches revival, you know, Brother Tim, you don't never know what he's going to say. I told him one day, I said, I'm telling you nothing on Saturday that I don't want coming in the pulpit on Sunday. And you can laugh because he laughs about it. But I also tell him this, I say, I don't care what you preach, I just want you to come. I know you'll pray. I know you'll preach what God tells you, but I want to keep that generation around. I'm talking about a generation that walks with God. Ain't not many of them left yet. And I said, I don't care what you preach. But I wonder sometimes when, and he's in good health as far as I know. I could go to heaven before he does. But I've wondered sometimes when that May meeting's over with, will he ever come back again? You know, you just never know, do you? So what does that mean tonight? Here's what it means. Every service has to count. Amen? Amen. You don't know if there's going to be another Sunday at Bible Baptist. You don't know if there's going to be another Wednesday night prayer meeting. So every service has to count. How do I make every service count? I reach out and get a hold of him every service. How do I do that? When it's time to sing, we sing. Amen. When it's time to say amen, we say amen. When it's time to give a testimony, give a testimony. When a man of God gets up to preach, open your Bible, read it, and take in everything you can, and ask God to speak to you and say, Lord, pass by my pew. Why on others thou art calling, do not pass me by, but pass by my way. Lord, here I am. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Amen. That's how you have to come to church, sitting on ready. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to church. Don't get your mind on everything else. Don't take for granted that it's just another Sunday night. It's just another Sunday. I have to be the same way. I can't take for granted because it may not be here next week. You know, in 2019, when we had our Jubilee, and it was just a blanket statement. But I remember when we closed that meeting out, I just didn't mean it, but did. But I said, you know, look around, because this might be the last time it's ever like this. It won't never be this way anymore. Boy, if we would have knew what the next year held. We had no idea, did we? And sitting in that last service that night was Tom Barnes, Brother Charles Roach, Brother Stennett Ballew, and Brother Sammy Allen. And it's never been that way and never will again. We don't ever know, do we? You got to reach out and get a hold of him when he passes by. I mean, when you see God move, we ought to move with him. Not only the request, the responsibility. It didn't matter the amount, the area, or the affliction. They had to be willing to believe, to respond. Then finally, notice the results of touching Jesus. Look at that last phrase. As many as touched him, look at this, they were made whole. The results of touching him was both complete and consistent. Because when he passed by, it didn't matter who they were. It didn't matter, Brother Jason, what their need was. One man might be blind, another man could be lame. It didn't matter what the situation was. Jesus could heal this one as good as he could heal that one. I mean, they were made whole. It didn't matter who. See, you have a different need than what I have. You're a different individual. But God's able to help you, and he's able to help us all. Amen. He's able in one passing. He's able to help every single one of us. He can take one song and minister to everybody in a different way. He can take one sermon and speak to this person this way and speak to this person that way. That way, when he passes by, his presence will be what you need, when you need it, where you need it. Amen. It didn't matter their name. It didn't matter who they was. If they was willing to reach out and get a hold of him, he was willing to reach out and get a hold of them. I'm glad it doesn't matter who you are tonight. If you're desperate, if you want help, if you'll reach out and say, Lord, it's me. I want to get help when you pass by. He'll touch you tonight if you'll touch him. I think a lot of times we miss out because we're waiting for God to move. And I don't think it always works that way. God's waiting on us. You want the Lord to touch you this week? I tell you what you do, and most of you do this. You want God to touch you? Then just make sure that every day at a certain time in a certain place you open that book and read it. Make sure that you spend some time in prayer. And if you'll do that, I'll tell you what, God will touch you. If you're here tonight and you say, Lord, you say, preacher, I don't have any desire, then you probably need to be saved. Why don't you come tonight and let the Lord change your life? If you don't want to live for God, and you've never really wanted to live for God, then you've probably never really been saved. I'm not here to doubt your salvation, but I'm telling you, this thing's winding up. And there's a lot of people, I'm afraid, that sit in our church has never been born again. Do you have a desire? Has he ever touched you? Tonight as we stand, we're going to sing a verse of invitation. If you need to come, you obey God tonight.